Welcome to the Conquered Leaders Podcast. I'm Mark Pittman, CEO of the Conquered Leadership Group, and today our guest is Mark Vogelzang. Mark is the president and CEO of Maine Public Broadcasting, which is the NPR and PBS stations for the whole state of Maine, and he's one of my favorite people that I ever get to talk to. He's not only been the president there for a number of years, but he was also the president of Vermont Public Radio for around 16 years, and he served on the in leadership in the NPR Foundation. If there's anyone who's ever been experienced with leadership over a lot of years and a lot of change, it's Mark Vogelzang. So, Mark, I'm so glad you're here today.
Brett, glad to be here, Mark. This is a lot of fun, and I'm a big fan of yours as well, so it's a delight to be on your program and on your podcast and on your helping to talk about something that I know is very near and dear to your heart.
Well, thank you. So as I asked all guests, and as we were talking before we started the podcast, what with all the leadership experiences that you've had, what do you enjoy most about leading?
I love the fact that you can influence an organization's direction, your institution's direction, when you're the CEO. And that is a very important and important responsibility that you have in your role as CEO. Because what I've learned over the years is that the board looks to you as the expert. Your donors look to you as this person who, if you will, holds the keys to the kingdom. And your employees look to you and your stakeholders look to you. So as a CEO of a public broadcasting institution, whether it's in Vermont or NPR or here in Maine, I love the idea that you can influence the direction of the institutions. You can't do it alone. As I said, stakeholders are really important, but you can help influence, and I use the word influence in that way. That to me is really good because organizations take a lot to move direction and change course, but that's what I feel like one of the things I enjoy the most.
I like that you said influence and help influence, because what popped into my head when you said that just now was not dictate, but influence.
That's right. Years ago, I read a very good book by a fellow who ran a Michigan company, and it was I'm forgetting the name of the company, but it had to do with being a servant leader, and you do need to be subservient to your board and work with your staff like their colleagues, friends, who know more than you do, but you can also show a vision for what might be the potential for a project, for a direction, for a capital campaign. It's really terrific and very satisfying in a career.
Now, let me ask you, that you're talking about it, the author, and I'll put a link to this on the page, is Max Dupree, and the company was Herman Miller. And he wrote Leadership Jazz and Called to Serve, which are two just amazing, easy reads, but hard to implement because they're so profound. What have you seen as you're working with leading nonprofits that's different than maybe in the for-profit sector? Because you mentioned that you have to serve the board, and that's not many business leaders don't think of it that way when they're leading their organizations.
I think working with the board of directors and having the right people on your board is the critical thing, because obviously if you're working in a smaller organization and your board is still selling tickets or helping do bake sales, that's a different level of board responsibility than a public broadcaster board. But we're not associated with a university, or we're not owned by the state government. So I'm talking about an independent board of directors that can help guide the basic principles of what we believe public broadcasting should be doing. And in our case, being an NPR station, having a classical music network, and of course this amazing television network called PBS that we are responsible for. And there's tens of thousands, literally, of viewers and television and radio listeners every day who tune in and count on you to be there technically. So there's both this technical thing and also, of course, the money-raising thing that's really, really important. So I love the challenge of that, and you need a board of directors that is in line with what you're trying to do with your organization, whether it's an organization that helps needy people, or it's a true charity, or it's a service organization in the community, or it's something bigger in terms of education or environment. all of these are important in your community. Find the people who are passionate about your mission and bring them onto your board.
And I guess that makes it easier to serve, because when you have board members that aren't as passionate, it can be harder.
Mm-hmm.
Harder.
Yeah, and we all do. Yes, that's right.
So let me, that leads to the next part of these podcasts, which is describe a time that you've had a challenge as a leader, and tell us a little bit about how you handled it.
For me, the biggest challenge was this past 2 years. It was not a capital campaign, but we had decided, and it was very clear from evidence, that we were not being as effective. In order to grow our audience, we wanted to launch a new classical-only channel. In other words, on radio, take the classical music and build a whole new network for the classical music and jazz and opera that we had on our air. And it had 30 years of that being a tradition here in Maine. So touching that was like a third rail. Hmm. People said, you cannot change that lineup of music that people love during the daytime. But slowly and methodically we built that. But it was a real struggle, and my own ego got in the way of that. I was trying to push too hard. And finally, when I let somebody else explain to my board and the staff and said, brought in some experts who said, here's why it will help the organization grow a new line of revenue, serve more people better, and actually be successful. I had to let go of that. And when that happened, there was a moment where sort of the board coalesced, the staff coalesced. We all said, yeah, let's do this. And so that was a 2-year, very challenging, very rewarding, but very, very challenging effort that I undertook. And I admit I was not good. I would do it differently this time around, next time around. And there were personal challenges that I was facing. But also through it all, the board of directors was helpful in that they kept saying, "All right, so prove it to us. Show us how this will work. What's next?" And they asked a lot of questions. We just had to continually answer. Me and my executive team had to answer those questions.
And that was a positive prove it to us. It wasn't passive aggressive.
Yeah. It was. There were some of those questions inside that, inside that prove it to us with, you're not from here. We do it differently in Maine, and you could fill in that blank for any city you're in America.
Right.
Because everybody feels their place is special and unique.
And of course it is. But it's special and unique in many similar ways as many other communities.
Correct. And donors and supporters of your organization understand. It goes back to that issue of leadership and saying, folks, here's what I think we could do together. What if we contemplated this? How would that work? And ask those questions as a leader and show them a path that it might work for them.
Now, I remember being in one of the meetings that one of the experts you brought in was in, and it strikes me that so much of storytelling, what we're learning with corporate communications and communicating to influencers and donors, is very much that if you have statistics and graphs, you're going to reduce fundraising. You need to tell stories of impact. What struck me was how comforting it was to have somebody up on stage show graphs and charts and the pathways of stations that had done what you were pushing for and wanting, and stations that had kind of just maintained the sort of one size meets all, fits all format, and how they had diminished while the other ones had increased. I remember the shock in the room, because I went in there expecting to have to do some cleanup too. I didn't expect everybody to be on board as much, but it really captivated people. How did you find somebody with those stats?
Well, it was part of, it's a big network, and I think every nonprofit organization has a similar, it just helps to have somebody from the outside with a different perspective that understands where you're going and can help tell your story in a little different perspective. And that's what happened. There were lots of charts and graphs, which helped, but it was also a convincing story about how these other organizations had made this shift, and they didn't go bankrupt, they didn't get in trouble, and they served more people. So that was the success there.
That's true, because it was all this guy's personal experience too. He was able to really meet people where their fear was and
Correct.
acknowledge it. That's really true. He wasn't just kind of, running roughshod over them. That's really powerful. And when you said that about other industries too, I'm thinking of the library. There's some really good research and graphical research that libraries could use. So yeah, I think looking outside of just your nonprofit's own research, but looking for something within your space can be really helpful that way.
Yeah. Someone who you think would also work with your staff or board who could be, who you'd have to, that's a judgment call, but finding somebody who you think has a comfort level that would not come in as the expert, but coming in as an expert who understands who they are and where they're coming from. So that was helpful.
That is a good qual. I'm taking that down not as the expert, but as an expert. That's a really interesting separation there. Good. Well, I appreciate your vulnerability into sharing the last 2 years, and congratulations. Tell us a little bit about how, at the time of this recording, how the transition's happening.
Transition has been broadly well received. There's still people who stop me on the street saying, "Hey, I don't like this. I need a classical music station." But it gave us an opportunity also to fundraise around this project, and that was a real wonderful success story. So I would say, for advice for people, is take one of your donors to lunch today or a cup of coffee and ask them why they're giving, and what do they want to accomplish by giving to your organization. And that's been very helpful for me as a nonprofit leader to do that. Just take a donor to lunch or coffee today, and don't ask them for money right away, but ask them for advice.
Wonderful, wonderful advice there, Mark. Thank you so much. And I know that that people are going to want to listen to this over and over again, because there's so much about how to influence and work within your board and influence as a leader as you're serving. I'll also have the links to the Max Dupree books up with this podcast.
Good. Thank you for that. I've forgotten that. I've forgotten his name, but that's excellent.
Where can people reach you if they want to learn more?
You can reach us at mainpublic.org. That's our website, mainpublic.org. And you can also reach me at Mark Vogelzang or mvogelzang@mainpublic.org. mvogelzang @mainpublic.org.
Great,
And
Mark.
I'd love to chat with anybody about this idea of raising money and building a board. It's a very difficult but a worthy and noble endeavor.
And it becomes rewarding for the effort you put into it, just from your own personal experience, I can tell. So,
Yeah, very much so.
well, I know people are going to want to listen to this, and you can listen to this episode and all the other episodes in the Conquered Leaders podcast at conqueredleadershipgroup.com/podcast.